Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
We also know and hold to the fact that Jesus has given us three commands to live by. And in those three commands, all of the scriptures are summed up, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And not only into this world, but into our own beings. Because it's understanding that if we're going to love God and love others, we have got to apportion the scripture to our very lives, to become that image once again through our Savior, who is our Lord Jesus the Christ. And by that coming, then, we can go and be Christ in this world. Not that we are Christ, but that we are an image of Him. And to that we give ourselves this day as we continue in the book of Mark. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to chapter 9 in the book of Mark. We're going to be picking up in chapter 9 on verse 14, and we're going to read through 29. And I've entitled this portion of our reading and the sermon therein, Faith and Prayer. Because again, in this message, the Gospel of Mark, throughout all of the Gospels, we understand and know that we are gaining the picture that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the suffering servant. He is the Christ. But Jesus in His teachings also gives us some things that we need to follow, some things that we need to see. So what's the big idea that I want us to get today? Well, it's all about faith and prayer. And Jesus is very real here. If we want a practical faith, if we want a working faith, we have got to believe in the power of His majesty. Let us read from verses 14 through 29. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And he answered them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." So they brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." After crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. When he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, "Why could we not drive it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Now there are a couple of things in here that I really want us to look at and I want to point out. Were the disciples trying to get this spirit out of this young man? Yes, they were. Yes, they were. But Jesus' words here, as he spoke, he said, "You unbelieving generation." We need to understand what he was talking about, or whom he was actually talking to, was the disciples. Because remember, he had given them authority over the demons, that they could cast out demons, if you remember that. And here's this one that's not obeying them. Why? Because they weren't believing in what God would do. They were believing in what they thought they could do. How many of you think you have some power in this world? You know, I think it's something that the entire world believes. That I have power to change things. You don't have power to change anything. Because you're not God. We will affect so little in this world that when you die within 10 years, 50% of the people who know you will remember you no more, because they're going to die too. And then after two generations, you may be a picture on somebody's wall. And they'll say, "Oh yeah, I think that was my great-great-grandpa or great-great-grandma." And within four generations, those pictures won't even be around. And we are but a vapor. But while we are here, we have the ability to affect eternity. You see, that's the one thing that I want you to realize. We think it's all about here and now. But the reality is, it's all about eternity. And that's what this conversation is truly about. Because these people had the power to change eternity. Were they able to? No, because they thought they had the power. We need to understand some things here. God is the power. Our portion is simply faith and believing, and then exercising that faith into this world by believing faith. Not in what we can do, but in what God can do. It so amazes me when I think about the church and these pastors that amass these huge churches. And you know, they stand up front and pontificate all this wonderful stuff and you know, "Hey, just send me your money." Because what's it about? Is it about salvation, or is it about the money and legacy that they're going to build? In many cases, it's about the legacy that they're going to build. You know, there are humongous churches throughout our land because somebody had an idea to do something, and we're going to do this great thing. Well, is that building going to affect eternity? No. But the church can affect eternity. And that means you. That means me. Because that building isn't going to make it. And I wonder if half the people that call themselves the church are going to make it. Because are they exercising faith? Are they practicing faith? And Jesus here, look at his words from verses 22 through 24. I'm going to read them again. And he says, this is the Father. He says, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Now, who was he asking that question to? If you can do anything. And Jesus said to him, "If you can." If you can. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you have believed in? I am convinced that he is able. And therefore I go, because I have entrusted all that I am unto him. Because there is no other power under heaven by which man may be saved except Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? And when we understand that we're not going in our power, it's not what you can do, it's what Christ can do through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing can stop you except yourself. How do I know that? Let's read on. He says, "All things are possible to him who believes." Isn't that what I just said? Yeah, I think so, and I'm just repeating what Jesus said. And immediately the boy's father cried out, and I love this. "I do believe. Help my unbelief." What was he saying? I am weak. but thou art strong. I can't do this, but you can. And I believe you can. Folks, one of the things you and I need to understand is faith and doubt go hand in hand. Why? Because we are sinners. Because we are broken. We do not have that perfect communion anymore. I want you to think about Adam and Eve when they were in the garden. They had perfect communion with God. And they heard Him walking in the garden. How many of you have ever heard God walking in the garden? How many of you with eyes to see now can walk outside and you can see God in the garden? Oh man, I'll guarantee you He has opened my eyes to see that now. But can I hear Him? No. Nope, I can't hear Him. But I can see and I can hear Him in this world as the trees wave their branches and the breezes go through. How many of you last night saw the power of God in that thunderstorm? We had an awesome thunderstorm last night. We had lightning like you wouldn't believe and rain for the first time in how long? Praise Jesus. When I think of that power, and that's just earthly power. That's power that's displayed here all the time, and that's nothing. I'm talking about the power that creates galaxies, the power that has created life, the power that has created everything visible and invisible, things we don't even comprehend yet. And that's at our fingertips, but only if we what? Believe by faith and hold on to that faith. When we put our hope in Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible. And you and I need to understand that is exactly what Jesus is doing here. Now, something neat here happens afterwards because Jesus has got to do some stuff here before it's His time. And all of a sudden, a crowd starts gathering, right? It was already gathering, but it's getting bigger. And Jesus doesn't want to make a spectacle of Himself because He's got things He has to do before His appointed time. And He doesn't want to hasten it in any manner because He wants to complete the work well. How many of us want to complete the work well? In other words, Jesus is getting ready here to show us something. He did this in as secret a way as He could. Because you and I need to understand, if we're doing it for show, it's for naught. But if we're doing it in the humility and grace of God, unto the salvation of another, we will find that that door is open to us, and all of a sudden somebody at a prayer walk says to us, I need to be saved. Does it happen every day? Yes, all over the world. Individually every day? Not necessarily. Not on that dramatic a scene. But I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you have any idea how many people are watching you? And I think it's funny because we don't think anybody's watching us. But I'm going to guarantee you right now, if you are a Christian and you have friends that know it, people around you that know it, they are watching to see you screw up. And how many of us are good at that? But may we then in the same motive walk into the grace of God and get on our knees and thank Him for the forgiveness that He gives us and that we all need. Because it is in that walking with Him that others see us humbling ourselves in our ignorance and arrogance, that all of a sudden they realize themselves, this is what makes Him different. This is what makes her different. They are not puffed up on self, but they realize their low estate. And they know the one who has the power to deliver them from everything that ails them. But the question is, are we going to take that time to pray, to believe? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Look at the disciples. Here we are, and we did all this stuff, okay? Jesus here heals this guy quickly. Boom, come out of him. But then He tells the disciples in verse 29, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Now, wait a minute. Did Jesus pray that demon out of him? No, he didn't. He commanded him out. But who did the commanding? God did the commanding. You and I need to understand what Jesus is saying here. You don't have the power to do any of this stuff. You never have and you never will. You want this stuff to happen, you've got to come to me through faith, even though it's going to be broken, even though it's going to be feeble, even though it's going to be the size of a mustard seed. How many of us want a faith the size of a giant pumpkin? I'm saying that because it's fall here, you know, and we see the pumpkins everywhere right now. Many of us have faith of a mustard seed. But that faith grows from the tiniest of garden seed into the largest of the trees in the garden. It's understanding that you just need a little bit. The power is His. So get on your knees, humble yourself, and pray, because it's not your strength, it's not your power, but the God who loves us sees a humble, believing heart, and He moves. You know, I'd like to think that the gentleman who accepted the Lord, it was all about you guys and how wonderful you were. And Miss Eva and Bob are both shaking their heads no, and they know it. What was it about? It was about a man who saw faith coming to his door, and he said, I need you. But it wasn't us, was it? It was Jesus Christ. It was the love of Christ walking to that door, knocking on the door. When we go on these prayer walks, we pray before we ever enter into that prayer walk, in the hope that God will hear our prayer and bring someone. And I'm going to tell you right now, every time we go on a prayer walk, we have no idea what the harvest is, because it's not about us. It's about what God may do in that life after time. Once we have left, how are they going to wrestle with what they just saw? Are they going to reach out and say, Lord God, you just sent missionaries to my door? Are they going to say, what were these idiots doing? How dare they come? And the Lord will chasten their heart. And that may be what they need in that moment. But are we going to go? Are we going to believe that God is able to do what only God can do, but He wants to do it through you? That's the whole point of faith. God could just go, and it's over. But He doesn't want to do that. Why? Because He's given us free will to walk with Him, to be with Him, to commune with Him, to find that relationship that Adam had all the way back at the beginning, and to hear His footsteps and know He's coming for us, to know He's there concerning everything about us. And He wants to work with us for our good and for the good of all mankind. I can't wait for the day when that last trumpet blasts. I cannot wait for the day when we will be called up together with Him to meet Him in the clouds. But I will wait, because there's too many people that need to be saved. There's too many prayers that need to go up to heaven to reach into this unbelieving world. And though my faith is little, though my faith is filled with doubt, though my faith is riddled with the sin of self, I know I need to hit my knees and sometimes my face and say, Father God, forgive me. In my arrogance, I have no power. But for Your glory, raise this one up, because He has raised me up. Not that I deserve anything, not that any of us deserve anything, but that Christ loved us so much that He came. Do you all understand? And I pray you do. We read it all the time in John chapter 16, verse 3. It says, for God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. Do you know what that says? What is God's love for us? It's not a what, he's a who. God's love for us is Jesus, that we would not have to die, but that we would believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. Repent of our sins, turn to him, and find the healing faith that brings us back into that right relationship. God's love is not filling your bank account. God's love is not healing your physical needs. Those things may come through God's love, but God's love is the forgiveness of your sins, the paying of a debt that you and I cannot pay. It is the ridding of us into hell and being resurrected in the life of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? And when we, by faith, pray, the demons will flee. The demons will flee. But we have got to hold that line. It's not about us. It's all about him. He is our power. But God says, I have apportioned unto you faith, as each and every one is able. Now, there are going to be some who have pretty great faith. You know, I think of Brother David over here. He's got a bigger faith than me when it comes to evangelism. He will go out, he'll talk to anybody, anywhere, ask Miss Amy, she'll tell you. He stops in the middle of Walmart and talks to those people with purple hair and hardware sticking out of everything. And praise Jesus for it, because they need redemption. You can simply see their stuff. How many of us are hiding it? But when we humble ourselves and say the words of this Father, I do believe. Help my unbelief. God can work with that. God can enter into that equation and show himself to be God. But when we are so full of ourselves and what we think we can do, do you think God's going to give you any glory? No, because the glory's his. Now, there are going to be folks out there who are going to say, well, boy, you have a pretty stuffy God if he thinks that much of himself. Folks, it's not that he thinks that much of himself. It is the fact that he is God and he is holy. We don't understand that concept. He cannot allow us to rob his glory, because if he did, he would not be God. Satan has done that. Do you realize that? Look how many superstars we have out there in this world who have literally given themselves over to the devil for a little bit of money and a little bit of fame. And how long does it last? It only lasts to your last breath, and then it's all robbed away from you. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come that we may live and live abundantly. And that abundant life is a life of faith, a life of power. But it needs to be a life of prayer. Does that make sense to everybody? Today, may we learn from this testament that Jesus Christ is here to help us in every step. If you can, oh my goodness. It's not if you can, it's will you, Lord? And if the heart is pleasing unto God, it is acceptable unto him. That's Old Testament. May our hearts be pleasing unto him, acceptable unto the Lord. Faith and prayer, not self. Faith and prayer, not your will. Faith and prayer, believing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you. And what a powerful lesson to learn, because Lord God, we take things out of context so often. And that's the brokenness in us. So Lord, we ask that you would forgive us, that we repent of that arrogance and we cast it out, and that we would walk in true humility, knowing that you are God and you are our power. And you have our back, you have our front, you have our sides, you have our top and our bottom. You have us surrounded in a love and a grace and a power that we cannot even begin to comprehend. But Lord God, through faith, may we access that reality. And not just for ourselves and our own selfish desires, but to reach into this world and to change lives for Jesus Christ, to cast out the demons of this world, whether they be demons in our minds, demons that are real, or whether they are simply something perceived because of what we have done. For Lord God, when we believe, when we humble ourselves by faith and we pray, you are there. And it's only by prayer that these things may come. For you are the power. Ours is simply the faith. May it be now and may it be forever. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.